This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and five focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork.
Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Illinois lawmakers are trying to shut down the sale and manufacture of certain pistols they say can be too easily modified. My colleague Alex Degman reports it is illegal in Illinois to own bump stocks and switches, but people can purchase or 3D print these devices to make some semi-automatic pistols act like they are fully automatic weapons. Democratic State Representative Justin Slaughter of Chicago is sponsoring a measure to make sure these pistols, like Glocks, are not built or sold in Illinois. Slaughter says they're trying to address how these specific Glocks are manufactured.
We don't want to ban Glocks as much as we are demanding and requiring that the manufacturing of these be reworked.
The legislation does not affect guns people already own. Versions in both the House and Senate are awaiting further committee debate. 14 people were injured this morning, and a driver fatally shot themselves in West Suburban Oak Park. Oak Park's chief communications officer says the driver was heading southbound on Harlem Avenue and ran through a red light at Lake Street. This was just before 9 in the morning. ABC 7 reporting the driver crashed into multiple vehicles and then shot themselves. The driver was pronounced dead at the scene. Officials say at least 14 people from other vehicles were taken to local hospitals. They're expected to be okay. Chicagoans can circulate their dollars tomorrow at the Spend in Black Marketplace on Chicago's South Side. My colleague Nicole Janine Johnson reports the event brings together residents and Black entrepreneurs to advance health and financial wellness. Charlie Dates is leading this effort in partnership with 6th Ward Alderperson William Hall. Dates is pastor of both Progressive and Salem Baptist churches, and Dates says he hopes this year's event surpasses last year's $1 million economic impact.
From last year's Spend in the Black, one of the vendors got connected with resources that enabled her to open a brick and mortar flower shop in our city. So there are opportunities for the business owners, but there are also opportunities for good spending habits with the people who come.
And the event kicks off at 10 in the morning at 75th and King Drive. And several players from Southeastern Europe have played a critical role helping the Fighting Illini punch its ticket to the Final Four. The group includes several recruits from Serbia, Croatia, and Montenegro. They're often called the Balkan Bloc. Peter Wright with the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign tells Illinois Public Radio that Coach Brad Underwood's recruitment strategy is smart.
It's capitalizing on a place where the sport is just unbelievably popular. There's just a really large pool to draw from.
Wright says there are probably hundreds of Eastern Europeans in college basketball programs in the U.S. Illinois will take on UConn in Indianapolis tomorrow at 5:09 p.m. And a shout out to the Illinois State University Lady Redbirds. They're taking on Marshall University tomorrow for the National Invitation Tournament Championship. Tip-off is 2 o'clock in Huntington, West Virginia. You're listening to The Rundown. Chicago is known for deep dish pizza, Italian beef, and classic dogs, but where in town can you grab the best burger? Our food contributor Maggie Hennessy has a new book entitled The Burger Bible, and she writes about 80 of the world's best burgers, including a few right here in Chicago. And she joined my colleague Claire Lane over a burger at Uptown restaurant Ragged On to talk about the city's contributions.
Hello.
All right, we're going to do a double Dan burger.
Oklahoma onion burger.
So, in your opinion, what makes a burger a good burger?
I am a big believer in balanced ratios. I like a bun with a lot of give. I like meat where you can actually get a little of the juiciness, not smashed to leathery smithereens, you know. I like a few simple piquant toppings. You know, a sticky American cheese, a sharp bit of onion, maybe a shot of mustard. So for me, simpler is best.
But you do like a meaty burger.
I do. And which might make me less popular than some in this moment.
I think that makes you authentic to Chicago. We love our meat.
We do.
So we're here at Ragged On. Tell us a little bit about this onion burger. You're going to pick one up, have a bite, and you already had a bite. You're enjoying it. Tell me what's on it. What makes it good?
I've already had two bites, yes, because I can't resist. This burger is really spectacular to me personally because it is like the right ratio, first of all, like I said, of meat to bread to toppings. This burger is special because it homages a style native to Oklahoma where you smash super thinly sliced onions into the beef patty itself, get it nice and caramelized on the ends. And then it's on this like very soft sesame seed bun. There's za'atar sauce, which adds a little bit of herbaceous tang. It's like a mayo-based sauce spiced with za'atar. I just think it's one of the best bites that you can eat.
And you touched on this a little bit. Why is it called the Oklahoma Onion Burger?
So it homages the style that was born about a little over a century ago, still on Route 66, but a few states away in Oklahoma during the Great Railroad Strike. This burger style originated because it was to help stretch precious beef supplies. So the beef was smashed with, you know, a little haystack of onions and caramelized. What's interesting about the specifically to Ragadan is the owner's parents immigrated from Amman, Jordan. They originally had plans to go to California, but wound up in Oklahoma, where they opened and ran a diner for a long time. So hence the, you know, diner classics alongside really delicious tender falafel sandwiches that you can find here. It's a beautiful mashup and very, very American, sort of the immigrant story, the diner story.
Good burger here.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other top local burgers in your opinion?
Well, this is up for debate as everything with burgers, but I would say a few that come to mind are the namesake Charlie's Burger at Charlie's Burgers in Belmont Cragen, the Double Cheese Burger at our beloved Billy Goat Tavern and Grill, the OG Cheeseburger at The Loyalist, which occupies the chef-driven category. And then I will say, because we're sitting here and it's one of my favorites of all time, the Oklahoma Onion Burger at Ragadan in Uptown.
You also have a hot take that onion burgers should be more widely appreciated in part because they ease the impact of climate change. Global meat industry does account for about 15% of greenhouse gas emissions. Tell us a little bit more about what you're thinking here.
Listen, hear me out. So I did spend some time last year reporting for WBEZ about the proliferation of steakhouses that never stops. The truth is we love beef. We are not making any plans anytime soon to cut back on it, let's face it. And I think one of the ways that you can sort of nudge people without preaching at them is think about ways that you can stretch something to make it go a little further. For example, smashing a patty with onions. You get a little more veg, you know, a little less beef. That's right. And you don't need to eat this gigantic thing. You know, we will always love this viral image of a really huge, tall, sloppy, beefy burger. But I've noticed kind of like doing research on this for the book, it connected to this idea of a century ago that the smash burger originated around the Depression as a way to stretch beef supplies. So applying that thinking gently in a way that sort of encourages folks to think about how much they're consuming and how much they need in order to be satisfied is an important thing to think about. Plus, onions and beef are a beautiful combination. I mean, think about French onion soup. It's one of the great flavor combinations of all time.
So your book is called The Burger Bible, mm-hmm. Everything You Need to Know About the Humble Hamburger. Can you give listeners one or two hamburger facts you think everyone should know?
Yeah, I was so fascinated to learn that burgers make up 60% of sandwiches consumed worldwide. That's a staggering number. It sort of speaks to the way this thing has just really gone across the globe. And it does have a globe-trotting origin story, you know, ancient history dating back to like when the Tatars were riding with raw mutton under their saddles and eating it warm and raw at the end of the day, which does not sound particularly delicious, but it's a nice way to think about, like, in turn, this thing that we feel is very American that we sort of claim has made a stamp on the world as well.
That's Sun-Times and WBEZ contributor Maggie Hennessy. Her new book, The Burger Bible, is out April 2nd. Thanks, Maggie.
Can you take a bite with me before we go?
Yes,
before
let's
we
take
go?
A bite. She got an onion pull, folks.
That's right.
This is WBEZ.
That means it's good.
Mm. Weather, cloudy day, temperature falling into the mid-40s, some sunshine peeking out too. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, temperature staying in the mid-50s. And then for the weekend, rainy and warm on Saturday, a high in the low 60s, low 50s with partly sunny skies on Sunday. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.